something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Amy and TJ here in studio, and we are never thought we would take up an entire podcast talking about a friend of ours that was prompted by headlines we read in the morning. That sounds crazy, but that's exactly what happened. We got up this morning, and we happen to be recording this on the Monday after the NFC-AFC championships, and we started seeing headlines about a very dear friend of ours.
That's right. We watched the playoff games all day yesterday, all night, into the evening, and then went to bed and woke up and said, wait, what did we miss? It was actually, you know, when you open your phone and the Apple feed, straight out that something about our dear friend Michael Strahan. And we were confused because we watched as much as we thought we were supposed to and didn't see anything that would warrant a headline.
I hate using that word, triggered. But it was something about this particular series of headlines having to do with Strahan. And most of you, if you're listening to our voices, know it had to do with the post-game ceremony at the NFC Championship game between the Lions and the 49ers. So we started seeing these headlines. I don't want to misquote them. I think you have them in front of you.
Yeah, and I actually, this is actually a little painful for me because I'm not a fan, and I know you're not either, of reading clickbait. But that is what this is because of the words they use.
Give
right?
a synopsis.
Okay.
Give
it, yeah, don't. Yeah. I mean, but it's just using words like butchering, brutal, ripped. You know, just all of these adjectives or ways to describe how he handled the post-game celebration, giving the trophy over to the 49ers. And so we thought, oh my gosh, what did he do? What did he say? We have to watch.
We were legitimately concerned. Like, there was such talk about it, and the words that were used were so strong, so aggressive, that we were terrified that, oh my goodness, what has happened? So we went back and watched it, because we didn't watch it live, because the game had been decided, and we turned it off earlier and moved on to something else, so we did not see it live. So we went back and watched it today. And your reaction after, okay, your reaction after watching it when I queued it up this morning.
I said, huh? I mean, I don't understand what all of the fuss was about. I don't understand all these headlines. And I actually went and did something because it wasn't about us. I felt a little safer reading some of the comments. And if you read these comments, I mean, that's what's brutal. That's what's rough. So I was expecting something terrible. I was expecting something just that would be jaw-dropping. And what I saw was, you know, an excited, a little frenetic, a not perfect in a live event moment where someone's trying to be the leader of, you know, a three-ring circus is what it ends up being. I think, you know, we know what it's like, not at that level, but in general to be on live television and to have to not only interview one person, but maybe interview 5, 6, 7, 8 people after some huge historic game where everybody's hyped. There is so much chaos. There's confetti flying. There are fans cheering. There are, you know, tears of joy, tears of sadness. Just there's so much chaos going on. To have to then focus and bring this all to a live audience is no easy task.
And so he did it, by the way, and he did a good job of it. I would argue, right? There's a misstep, and this happened. You just said something. You said, it's not going to be perfect. It's live TV. Yeah, that's exactly what live TV is.
Right.
None of it's perfect.
That's what actually makes it kind of interesting sometimes.
Yes.
If it was perfect, it'd be boring.
It would.
Right?
But no, Stray, and we went back and watched. I think I've queued it up a couple times this morning because I didn't necessarily get it. And to some degree, we're talking about this because it was, for us, quite personal, given our long-standing friendships and close ties to Stray over the years. So we're always watching him, always rooting for him, especially in his football coverage. And so it's not a matter, and I don't want to call it unfair. If you put yourself out there, you're in the public spotlight, and especially when you do what he does, sports. There's nobody's crazier than sports fans when it comes to talking and criticizing. But this was, he might not even be aware, but it was uncomfortable and painful and unfortunate to see what was coming at him over what was clearly just a ceremony. It wasn't anything egregious that the man did.
Yeah. I mean, I would actually encourage anybody, especially if you've seen the headlines or read any of the comments, to go back and actually watch what happened on live television. And I do think there are some things that we know what it's like when you're in that position, like Michael Strahan. People are in your ear. They're telling you, move on. There might be time constrictions. So a lot of people complain that he didn't let Joe Montana speak, and there was some issue as to whether or not he should have. Who knows what the producers were telling him to do or what they weren't telling him to do? I mean, that's the thing that people don't realize when they're watching. You're not only trying to remember everyone's names, all the questions you're supposed to get to, all of the people you're supposed to congratulate, thank, and recognize, but you also have a producer in your ear very oftentimes giving you time cues. Hurry it up. Move past. We don't know if the producer said, hey, we don't have time for Joe to speak, but just get him to get the trophy to who it's supposed to go to. And those are the types of directives you're getting in your ear while you're thinking, while you're dealing. And I know this is our job, and I know you're paid, you know, really good money to do an excellent job. But I just wanted there to be some of those maybe inside details that people don't realize. You have a lot of things going on at one time while everyone's watching.
I'm thinking about all the times and the coordination and the things that are necessary. And first of all, Stray does not need us to defend him.
No.
He's fine. And this is not some full-throated defense of Stray. It was just interesting to read the headlines this morning that didn't match what actually took place on television. Another point is he got the assignment late. This has been done for decades by Terry Bradshaw, who was under the weather and wasn't a part of the coverage. He usually does this. So Stray didn't find out. He maybe got 24 hours notice tops, but he didn't. This is not his regular gig. Still, I can't say this enough. Stray did a good job.
Yeah.
Right? And he did a good job. He's a football player, former, I should say, but he gets up there and he was still being his hype man. He is excited that he's at a football game and a championship was just won.
People were complaining that he was yelling, and it was like, well, I mean, you're in a stadium, a major event just took place, and there's a lot of noise. So he had a microphone, yes, but he was probably talking over a lot of noise.
And there you go. So Joe Montana was standing. So I have, and you know this, this was my wheelhouse in, what were you saying, my former life.
Yes.
these big live events to where they come to you. As soon as they say your name and you're live, you got so many things to coordinate. I have literally done stories where I start live in a basement. I have to walk upstairs on live television, go up not just straight up the stairs, the stairs whip around. So I got to go up 2 separate flights. I got to get to the top. I got to surprise this guy whose name I have to remember, the organization he's a part of. I need to remember the director over here, his daughter over here. I need to remember the name that's donating to this man. And I have to remember how much they're donating. And I have to remember to thank certain people at the end.
And do it all in a very specific amount of time.
With somebody in your ear saying, 90 seconds.
Wrap it up.
This whole thing is happening. And you damn right. Rap. I have messed up somebody's name. I have probably gotten a little loud because somebody was in my ear talking. I was, ah!
You're talking over the person talking in your ear, right?
Yes.
Everyone just jumped. Sorry about that. If you're listening with AirPods, that probably was a lot.
But that's what happens on live television. You know, when you get done, you go, wow, I wish I'd have done that. Okay. Or I forgot to mention the vice president of the organization. Or you, some little thing. But that's just how TV goes. So maybe we can sympathize. One, yeah. Because it's a friend of ours. Also certainly empathize because we've been there and done that. And it just bothered us so much to see how he's being dragged for like nasty stuff.
Nasty.
Not just
nasty.
It's one thing somebody would say, hey, come on, why didn't you let Joe speak? Why didn't you let Montana? They don't say that.
It was vicious.
It was over that. Over that.
So, and I asked you because, I mean, I like to watch sports, but I'm not deeply invested in it. I don't watch all of the sports channels like you do. And I asked you, I said, are sports fans, I mean, I've heard it, you know, just people talk about sports fans being really, really invested and passionate. But if you can see the face TJ is making, passionate, I'm going to say that in a positive way.
Okay.
But these types of fans, sports and politics, you said,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's it.
You don't want to piss anyone off in either one of those genres.
Doesn't matter what you say when it comes to sports. I could put out a message on social media today that only says Michael Jordan was good at basketball, and I will get negative comments. You idiot! I will automatically get that. It's just how it goes.
And you mentioned the 49ers fans. And something about Strahan not picking them.
Yeah, I mean, some people were taking issue with him weeks past, like in earlier coverage of the season. Like he said something they didn't like about their team, or he wasn't completely positive about the team or support, or maybe he didn't pick them that week. All that stuff comes back. So it ends up being a little silly, but this one, we genuinely, I asked you first thing this morning, like, did you see this? What happened? You're like, oh my God, what did he do? Did he perform a ritual killing on?
I mean, it seemed like maybe he killed someone. And that's kind of where it was. That's how awful it was, apparently. So anyway, we were very relieved and puzzled a little bit once we actually saw, because I thought, why was that so bad? What? I'm confused. Anyway, like you said, Stray does not need us defending him. We just felt compelled to say something. And dude was a Giants player. He knows what the fans are like.
He's really
aware. I remember him telling me, like, whoa, there was just some cities that were tough to play in. I mean, he gets it.
He gets it better than anybody. And again, this isn't we are out here in this public spotlight. There is going to be criticism. That's okay. And understood, and you're not looking constantly for praise. And sometimes you get constructive criticism. Over the years, I've changed things before. I've been on live TV. Somebody complained about a graphic behind us. Some people were writing in, being nasty, and saying, and somebody said, hey, it's a little distracting when the da-da-da-da-da. I said it to my director live on CNN. They changed the graphic. That stuff happened. That was a criticism that came a certain. They didn't say, hey, what bleeping idiot made that graphic behind you? They should be fired. That's different.
There's a way to give, as you say, constructive criticism or to have an opinion. It just doesn't have to
be
so nasty, right?
Okay, we say this was just vicious over what was essentially nothing. We get it to a certain degree. But we started talking today about this morning. If someone could have seen that thing I did on TV, because he did it on a stage, I don't know what the viewership was last night, but one of the largest, I've probably never been on TV with an audience that large.
I know I haven't.
Right?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have done things throughout my career and messed up on TV to the point that I never thought I would. I didn't want to come back the next day.
I'm so grateful that I started out my career in 1995. That is before YouTube or... Actually, was the internet even around then?
Was the internet, if
I'm telling you that if it had been recorded, like those early days, oh my goodness. No, I have actually forever been grateful that social media did not exist, Twitter did not exist, nothing. So any mistakes I made were made in front of a very small audience who hopefully have forgotten, and it hasn't been recorded. And if it was on tapes that can't be played on any current device now.
Did you do? What was your mistake? Can you remember a mistake? A legitimate, not just a weird, but somewhere you were solely responsible. You messed up almost to the point of embarrassment on TV.
So the story that stands out the most to me was my first job in Charleston, South Carolina. And they actually made a Christmas reel of bloopers for the newsroom at the Christmas party at the end of the year. And I was highly featured. And in fact, they kept going back to the thing that I did that was the most embarrassing. So I am rushing to the scene of a alleged plane crash in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And I get there just in time for the 11 o'clock news.
How is it an alleged plane crash?
Well, there's a reason why I say it like that. Just you wait. So Russ McCaskey of WCBD TV2 Action News came to me. This was my first like real live report where something was happening, ongoing. I had no script. I didn't know what was happening. And I did my first report and I thought it was pretty darn good. I gave an assessment of what was happening. They were searching for the wreckage because several people had reported, you know, fire in the sky, streaks. They said it must have been a plane. So when he came to me at the end of the 11 o'clock newscast for an update, and there was no update, so Russ McCaskey asked Cub reporter Amy Robach, "Amy, is there any new information to report?" And I said on live television, "No, Russ, there is no new news to report."
You told me this story before. That was not your fault. You gave an honest, accurate assessment of what the hell was going on. There was nothing new.
I was honest to a fault, and everyone died laughing. I was so embarrassed. I couldn't recover. I was stammering then at that point, and I just quickly threw back because I knew I shouldn't have said that. And then I couldn't get out of the hole I had dug for myself. And by the way, it turns out there was not a plane crash. There was nothing to report.
Every time I hear that is accurate. You know what? That's not your fault. What market was that again?
That was Market 107, Charleston, South Carolina.
So everybody was learning. So you had a lot of inexperienced people. Ugh. And what that producer was supposed to do is what? Hey, do you have anything? They ask you that in your ear before and say, oh, she's got nothing. Then we don't come to her.
So well, I could have just described the scene and said it's ongoing. The search continues. I didn't need to say there is no new news to report.
What time is news on? Local news? Late local?
That was the 11 o'clock news.
So it's 11:30 and you're ready to go home.
That is very true.
Let's get out of here. Well, ain't nothing to report.
I went home with my, with my tail between my legs. I was so embarrassed. And no one let me forget it.
Oh, sweetheart.
It was continually brought back up for my entire time that I worked there. And, you know, I learned my lesson.
So I am always looking for ammunition, right? I'm always looking for something you use against you. This isn't one of them. This is actually one. I
actually get red in the face thinking about it now still. How about you?
Oh, I got a lot. The most embarrassing, this is the most embarrassing I can remember, is... top five market. I just made it to San Francisco. It was number five market at the time, KNTV, out in the Bay Area. I had been there less than a year, maybe a matter of months, but it's a big deal. I was the 5 o'clock anchor. So it's a big deal always to fill in on the main show at 11 o'clock. Big deal. Made it. Top five market. I'm 26, 27 years old. About to fill in for the main guy at 11. This is my moment. It's happening. Okay, so the show is starting. The music's going. Prompter starts rolling. I'm sitting next to my co-anchor. Now, of course, the prompter has all the stories you're going to be reading through. But at the top, there's kind of a template that's never changed. And the names of the anchors or the tag for the show stay in there and don't get touched. It wasn't touched for the new guy who was filling in. So the names in the teleprompter were still the names of the two main anchors and not the fill-in guy.
So I see where this is going.
The show starts. Homegirl says, good evening, I'm blah, blah, blah. I say, good evening, I'm Alan Denton.
What did you do afterwards? Did you start to laugh?
No.
Did your co-anchor start to laugh?
It was the first broadcast that I ever did where I was physically under the news desk the whole time.
Is this why you never read the prompter now?
You know what? You make a good point. I don't trust it.
It's true.
I don't trust it.
I was always in awe of you because all of us would write our scripts out. We'd put them in prompter and we're in the studio and we'd read our script from the prompter. You never did. And you could have a minute long intro that had lots of details and numbers and things you don't want to mess up.
Yes.
And you preferred to
always
memorize it or have it in your head versus read it from the prompter.
Sure.
And that might be the root cause of it.
Trauma. Is what it was. It was trauma. I don't even trust my own name. But yeah, they left it in there, and I think I stumbled over and eventually said my own name, but I read fully. Now, I didn't say, catch it. I said, I'm Alan Denton.
Did you and Alan Denton ever talk about this?
I don't know. I don't think I ever looked at him again. No, it was fine. And you know, I think he's maybe 20 plus, maybe even 30 years older than I am.
Yeah.
White dude, blonde hair. We do not.
Even funnier.
You can't mix that up. So we have moments. Yeah. Everybody has a moment on TV, and some of them you can laugh at, but I don't know to encourage people to give folks a break, to give folks just a little break on times like this. I know it's social media and it's how it is. And it's not what you should expect. We shouldn't expect people to be kinder in those situations, but it was just weird to see the headlines and then go back and watch and go, what the hell?
When it comes to dealing with those types of opinions, I remember I once had a friend who was a co-anchor at MSNBC, and I made a million mistakes, and there was one day I was beating myself up, and he looked at me and said, hey, Amy, you know what? It's just television. We're not saving lives. You're going to be fine, and so is the audience.
You know, and to that point as well, you need somebody to get in your ear like that, and I was reminded, man, thank God you get to come back and do this tomorrow. Because there are some, right? These guys lost a football game yesterday, and some guys had a bad game, and they're getting talked about in a really vicious way. They have to wait until next season to get back out there and try to prove themselves or try to do better. And we work in an industry that does allow for you to come back on the next day and try it again and have a clean slate. So obviously we love Stray, and but we don't need to defend Stray. Stray's good, but it was just something that was on our mind that was funny and painful and triggering to a certain degree.
Yeah, just, you know, I don't know. Maybe everybody can just remember if you don't have something nice to say. Maybe think twice and longer before you say it, or even more importantly, put it in print and send it out for the world to see.
That's, I'm sure that'll turn everything around.
I'm sure I've just convinced everybody to be kind. All right. Until tomorrow.
All right, folks. Appreciate you listening as always. You can find the show at Amy and TJ Podcast. But for now, I'm Alan Denton.
And I'm Russ McCaskey.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.